I want you to go back into your life and remember something that nearly all of you have experienced. Think back when you were 2, 3 years old. Picture yourself standing there by a small lake or maybe a pool. You are standing there in your brand new swimsuit, but you have not gotten into water yet. Now picture one of your parents who's standing in that water, and they are encouraging you to jump in. Their arms are outstretched. There's a big smile on their face. They're saying, come on, you can do this. Just have faith. I'll catch you. You hesitate because it's a big leap for a little three-year-old. But they keep on saying, come on, you can do this. I will catch you. Mustering all the courage you can in that little body, you finally take that leap of faith. And of course, they catch you. That leap of faith is so important. And faith is our subject matter today. Faith is the third sola in our sermon series. And faith is such a nebulous and transitory thing, don't you think? It could be so strong, and then just a few minutes later, it could be so incredibly weak. Faith is not the mere knowledge of God. In a recent poll, over 90% of all Americans believe in some kind of higher power. Faith is not a human work. Faith is the gift from the Holy Spirit. Faith is the gift. Believing is the act. Therefore, faith is not something that we do ourselves. Remember this very famous Bible verse from John 15. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. By faith, you board an airplane, believing that that technology is going to keep that huge monstrosity up in the air. By faith, you start a family, more responsibility. How am I going to pay for this? But by faith, you still do it. By faith, you came to church today. You live your life by faith. In our text today, in Romans 4, St. Paul talks about Abraham, a man of great faith. And Abraham suddenly comes into being in Genesis 12. He was, at that time, he was still called Abram. We are not really told why God chose Abram. Suddenly, he just appears. He's 75 years old. From Genesis 12, it says, then the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And so Abram went as the Lord has told him. And that's it. He just said, go. And he went. That takes great faith. Remember now, Abram is 75 years old. For 75 years, he worshipped idols. The Bible confirms this in a book of Hebrews. It says, by faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He just picks up his things and he tells his wife Sarah that they are leaving. Did you ever think how that conversation went down? Sarah, we're leaving here and we're never coming back. But husband of mine, where are we going? I don't know. I have no idea. But husband of mine, why are we doing this? Because God told me. And husband of mine, who's God? That's the faith of Abram, to do something that makes absolutely no sense. And he wanders the land for years, decades, trusting on a promise from a person that he never actually met. Instead of control, Abram opted for faith. And that is something that we have a difficult time with in our lives, don't you think? We love control. Most of us will build a stone fortress around us to keep control. And if that stone fortress isn't enough, then we'll build ditches and moats around that fortress with large crocodiles and poisonous snakes just so we can keep control. But Abram is different. He gives up control and he starts out on this long journey by something, by a divine voice that he never actually met. These days, they would put you into a psych ward. It wasn't until Genesis 15 that he actually talks to God for the very first time. By this time, he's probably close to 85 years old, and he is still mourning the fact that he has no children. Abraham has faith, but he still has some doubts. This dialogue between God and Abram in Genesis 15 is really a beautiful expression of intimacy between the two. Read it sometime. In this very affectionate dialogue, did God strike Abram down because he was doubting? Not at all. God takes Abram outside and he shows him a sky that's full of stars. In Abram's time, there would have been thousands and thousands of stars visible to the naked eye. And then God says to Abram, look toward the heaven and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your descendants be. God reaffirms his promise to Abram. Could God be speaking those words to you today? Could God be saying, count your blessings and not your obstacles? Because you and I encounter many of those obstacles in our lives. Some of those obstacles are tiny irritants, and some of them are as large as this room. Could God be speaking a promise to you today? But you just don't believe it's possible. Lord God, I don't think that I can do that. Maybe God wants us to take this leap of faith, and we react like he's ordering us to jump to the moon. This leap of faith can be seen in the African impala. These animals are tremendous leapers. These deer-like creatures can jump up to 10 feet in height. One leap can cover a distance of over 30 feet. Yet these magnificent animals can be kept in any zoo with just a 3-foot high wall. You see, these animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet are going to fall. And we have an adage for that, don't we? Look before you leap. In the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that's the very opposite of look before you leap. Faith is jumping without being able to see where your feet are going to fall. How many times have you heard someone say to you, you just need to have a little bit of faith? And then something goes terribly wrong. You worry. Worry can be a cancer. Worry can weaken that faith. It can literally destroy your life sometimes. And is that happening to you? Money problems, depression, questioning about your future. Do you think Abraham had depression and family problems? Of course he did. He had no children. This was a very serious issue in Abram's day. Being childless was seen as God's divine judgment against you. Who will take care of him when he gets old? There were no nursing homes at that time. This was the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to a couple. Now Abram is 85 years old. Sarah is well into her 70s. Those childbearing years, it's not even close. That's over. And you certainly cannot blame Abram for his concern. So when God says to Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward, Abram responds, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? You have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. And Abram is explaining to God that this is not going to work. This is the way that I see it now, Lord. The only possible way out of this situation is for me to choose a slave to be my heir. Have you ever done something like that? Lord, I just don't see any possible way out of this. So here's what you need to do. And we explain to the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, what he has to do. We are so predictable, and sometimes our faith is so pathetic. When's the last time your back was against the wall? Maybe it's happening right now. Maybe it was you who needed an outright miracle because there was no humanly possible solution to your situation. Have you been in that place? We have all been in that place. And then just as we are about ready to give up, God comes through with some act of hope and promise. And for our time, our faith is renewed. Thank you, God, for saving me. But then a few years go by and something else happens that is just as bad. And then we see no way out. And once again, we doubt God. We really are pathetic. When will we learn? God keeps his promises. There will be a time in your life where your faith is tested. And I mean really tested. Maybe it's happening right now. But God is saying that these life tests are not there to weaken your faith. It's there so you can actually grow stronger in your faith journey. He has made a covenant with you. Remember this covenant when you face your challenges. Look up into the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And that's where Abram finally waved the flag of surrender, and he confessed that he needed God's power more than he needed control over his own life. His surrender of control was actually his victory. Victory for Moses during the Exodus was when the Red Sea parted and the Egyptians were about to be destroyed. The rest is just commentary. The victory of David over Goliath was when he had the faith to walk into that valley with just a single slingshot. The rest is just commentary. The victory of Bartimaeus receiving his sight was when he was told to be quiet, and he refused to be quiet. Rabbi, I want to see. The rest is just commentary. And that commentary is why Abram is known as the great father of faith. He is not known as the father of faith because he kept the law, because he didn't. If he depended on his own righteousness to save him, he was doomed, just like you and me. But St. Paul tells us in this text, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And in the same way, we are all doomed because of the law. We are terrible sinners, just like Abram. But our faith in Jesus through the promise of the resurrection, his righteousness is given to us as a free gift. That righteousness is not our own. We don't contribute anything to it except our sin. But now God credits the righteousness of Christ to us. It's all up to God. He has done everything for us. We are declared righteous because of our faith. Our faith in Christ Jesus. Do you have that faith given to you by the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes it takes a long time to learn to have that strong faith. Why do you think you often hear people coming to faith when they are going through tremendous problems and despair? God does not will suffering on us, but people are more open to the power of God when they go through great problems and when their stone fortress starts to crumble down into that deep moat. And that is when you cry out to God, I'm in really deep this time. God replies, I am deeper. How deep, you ask? God sighs and says, let's go and see. Picture him now standing in that water, encouraging you to jump into that deep water. His arms are outstretched. He has a big smile on his face, and he goes, come on, you can do this. I promise you will not drown. Mustering all the courage in your body, you finally take that leap of faith. Faith is jumping without being able to see where your feet are going to fall. Amen.